Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
Tell me who's sponsoring the show, please.
This podcast is brought to you in part by Dragon Shield. Use code PLAYTOWIN5 at the affiliate link down below for 5% off to help support the show.
I'm not telling you what to do. I'm sorry. That came off.
No, you're the director
rude.
Of the podcast. You can. Action. And
that's my job to say that. Welcome to the Play to Win podcast, where we talk about winning in CEDH. I'm Cam.
And I'm Dylan. This week, we're talking about 2025. We have some predictions. It's January right now. For CEDH in the next year, what we think might happen, maybe what we want to happen, some things involving that.
Exactly. We're going to go through all of the releases that are going to come out in 2025 as well.
That's exciting.
So that's really what I'm most excited about, too.
Isn't it fucking crazy that, hold on real quick, that it's 2025 right now and we started in 2020?
It's been five years,
which is half of a decade.
That's crazy. What are we doing for our five-year anniversary, by the way? Because that's next month and we haven't talked about it or planned anything.
Yeah. If we hit 100K on YouTube, let me just say real quick, we are so fucking close. That would be very impressive if we could line those up perfectly. We did a Hot Ones 1K 2K Q&A.
That's true. Do we go we back could, to we could do that, Hot Ones
or,
Q&A?
Or we could do another game show.
What if
we did Extreme Magic, where we play Magic? This is my dad's idea, by the way, where we play Magic the Gathering, but like in like on a Jeep or something, like in the back of a Jeep. Or like,
oh, like those Red Bull videos where you see like
on top of a train or something.
Yeah, playing Magic on top
mud.
Of a train.
Yeah, what if we do that?
That would be the coolest series for like a shorts series
ever. It would make
ever.
No sense though.
It would make no sense, but it would also be like the coolest thing, like playing Magic while bungee jumping.
Oh,
and it's just tons of cards flying out of our pocket as we jump down.
Yes, okay. This is a good idea that maybe we'll revisit.
Playing Magic on a roller coaster?
Oh, yes. That's a good idea.
That's an amazing idea.
We could do like Arena. That could actually be something that would be fun and doable.
You know what? We could get Dragon Shield involved with their Nomad too, and we can say, slip it in the thing.
That's how we do it.
That's how we do it.
Okay, yes. This is a good idea.
All right. The other thing that I want to say before we really get into things is that we are getting fewer products in 2025 than we got in 2024. Mark Rosewater confirmed that we are getting 7 releases as opposed to the 9 that we got this year.
Yeah.
But only 6 of them, from what I can see, are standard sets.
Oh, okay.
Which to me, from what I'm looking at, means that there's going to be 1 non-standard product that's still set to come out I don't know about,
like
at least
a Commander Masters or some sort of...
Well, it won't be a Modern Horizons because we just got a Modern Horizons in 2023, but so they'll wait a year.
Do you think it would be like a Marvel thing? We have no idea what it would be.
You know what? Part of me wouldn't be surprised if it's a Marvel thing, but I'm hoping that they... And people are going to hate this, but I'm hoping that they spread Marvel out so that we don't just get like super saturated with, and we're going to spoil a couple things that we're going to be talking about later already, but like the Spider-Man set coming out later this year, and then another unannounced set coming out after the Spider-Man set. Like, I would hate for that set to be X-Men because we completely get oversaturated. And then in 2026, we start with the Avengers, and then the next set is like,
I think that is what's going to happen,
which will suck a little bit more. Yeah. So
you would rather it all at once?
No, I would rather they spread it out
even more
so that way after the Spider-Man set, we go back to a Magic plane. And then later, I think we already know that there's an Avenger set for 2026 in the beginning of that.
There's Avengers movie coming out in 2026,
I think would make sense if there's some stuff that lines up. So I think as long as the unannounced set for later this year is not another Marvel set, I think that would be best case scenario for me.
Okay, cool. Should we talk about the sets that are coming out this year?
We might as well get into it. Yeah. Do you want to go backwards to forward since we're kind of starting from the end of the year already, or do you just want to start from forward?
That's going to hurt my brain. Can we just go from the earliest?
Sure. Okay. Yeah, sounds good. All right. So the first set that's going to be released this year is Aether Drift. Now, this is Magic the Gathering, Too Fast and Too Furious.
Dude, yeah. I really hope we get Fast and Furious Secret Lair. That would be fucking incredible.
That would be really funny. Is there a new Fast and Furious movie coming out or some Fast and Furious franchise thing?
Last I checked, it was kaput after like 10 movies. I think they capped it.
10? They finally decided that 10 was their number?
They were like, this is enough. I might be speaking out my ass here, but I'm pretty sure the last one was the last one.
Yeah, and it wasn't like way many before that they decided that.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's funny. So we're going back to another plane that we're actually renaming. It used to be called Kaladesh, but it's now called Avishkar.
Avishkar.
The accent's on the first syllable, yes. Avishkar. I looked up as to why they changed it, and I really like the reason why they changed it.
Yeah, Kaladesh, I think there was some words that mean one thing, but it actually could also mean something that was pretty negative.
In a language that I'm not familiar with. And as long as everyone feels comfortable about the language being used in Magic, I'm happy.
Yeah, exactly. And they also made it, like, I think, if I remember correctly, there's like an in-story reason as to why it changed names, too.
I think so, too. So, and I don't want to spoil the story, so I won't say that right now.
This set's going to be cool. I'm predicting, if I want to, if I may right now, artifacts.
Oh, yeah,
may I be so bold.
Well, I mean, if we go back to Kaladesh Block, I think that's the best way to take a look at what's to come. This was one of the first sets that had the two set block structure when we were on that, because it was just Kaladesh and Aether Drift that we had. And that was when we got vehicles originally, too. Vehicles and energy were the two new mechanics that came out with Kaladesh.
Energy is currently still dominating modern, even post-bans. I don't know if dominating is the right word, but doing very well in.
Amped Raptor was not enough.
But energy hasn't really touched CDH yet. I wonder if anything in this set will make energy touch CDH, because there are some cards that are kind of close. I don't know, though. I haven't seen anything that's really like quite good enough in CDH with energy, but
it's really hard, because I think that the history of energy and even the current present situation with energy is showing that the mechanic is busted even when they're trying to put it into other non-standard formats.
Yeah.
So I think if they're going to be looking at a standard energy, we're not going to get an Aetherworks Marvel. And that's the best energy card of the original block.
That's true. We may get a one mana vehicle, though.
A one mana vehicle would be insane.
Which would go right into Magda and probably a couple other weird decks, just because that having something that can tap something is like good. And if it's for one mana, that could be useful.
As Derevi gets more powerful and finding ways to tap things,
that's
like
interesting.
Maybe some weird versions of Derevi will start to want clown cars and the such.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But any one mana vehicle that we get is immediately going to slot into Magda 100%.
Unless the crew cost is like, you know, 100 or something. Like if the crew cost is very high, so you can't actually crew it, that would be a reason.
If the crew cost is more than 2, you're screwed.
Yeah, it needs to have a crew cost of 2 and a mana value of 1. Doesn't matter what it do, that's going to Magda.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah. I'm really sorry to interrupt, but Jill jumped up to the top of the couch. That's so cute.
That is, hold on.
That's so cute. This is where Jill has made herself. Oh, that's so adorable. Oh my God. I wouldn't have said something if I didn't think it was important yet. So vehicles, definitely coming back. Energy, definitely coming back.
Anything else that we know from Avishkar?
There's a new non-planeswalker Duretti that does not seem like he's very good.
We just don't know what the card does?
Yeah, we saw him.
Can you tell me what it does real quick?
I'd love to. It's Duretti Rocketeer Engineer. It's 4 and a red for a legendary goblin artificer. 5 mana total, yes. It's power, because it's a star 5.
Okay.
Its power is equal to the greatest mana value amongst artifacts you control, and it says whenever he enters or attacks, you choose an artifact card in your graveyard. You can sacrifice an artifact and then return the chosen one to the battlefield. So he's a 5 mana trash for treasure on a body.
Okay, that's also Goblin. What's the one mana Goblin?
Goblin
does
Welder.
Goblin Welder does this, right?
Goblin Welder does this
for one
mana. He has Titan text, so it's on attack and enters.
5 mana is kind of a lot.
5 mana is a lot, yeah.
In casual, this feels great.
This seems awesome in casual, yeah. Like putting Portal to Phyrexia back into your graveyard and back into play over and over again.
What's the creature type? Artificer or what?
He's a goblin artificer.
Goblin artificer, not a dwarf, unfortunately.
No, not a dwarf. But there's a lot of goblins that work really well with artifacts, so this would be a fun casual deck to put together.
And honestly, I would not be surprised if there is some sort of combo that you can birthing pod for this and sack the birthing pod to bring back the thing that you sacrificed to find this. I'm like, I wouldn't be surprised if there was some combo line that you can make with this card, but off the bat, I'm not seeing it.
That makes sense, yeah. Like, if there's a way you can flicker him to re-get the ability something. And then get something back.
Yeah, yeah, loop something.
There's something. I don't know how good it will be, but it's something.
There's something.
Yeah, so that's to come in 2025. Maybe we'll get to see that.
Any other predictions from this set or thoughts or wants?
Other than that, I do think that it's going to continue to bust energy wide open because they would have created these cards roughly around the same time that they created the Modern Horizon set that we just had.
Or at least would have been, yeah, they were aware of it at the same time.
So they did not have time to fix any problems that would have come up.
That's
and if they
true.
Did fix something at the last minute before it went to printing, last time that happened, we got
something,
Nadu.
Sometimes they fuck it up the other direction.
Exactly,
yeah.
So I'm not comfortable with energy yet in 60 card formats. I am excited because if it does end up breaking 60 card formats again, we have a better chance of it doing something in CEDH.
But if they push it enough.
I also feel like though now the energy decks have to have like 60 cards that give you energy or like
or
have some kind of energy
you
thing.
Would need a commander that's under 3 mana that says whenever you cast a spell gain energy equal to its mana value. You would have to have like a commander that would be able to like turbo all of your non-energy cards into energy cards and then also like be an outlet for the energy, like use 10 energy to draw 10 cards or something.
And honestly, that Dr. Madison Lee, who I'm trying to find on Scryfall right now and not having success,
maybe just Doc DR period.
Yeah, it is DR period, good job. Dr. Madison Lee is Jeskai mana, so like I feel like we keep trying to get things for her because whenever you cast an artifact, you get an energy. But like she isn't a good use of an infinite energy outlet. Like she could just help you get infinite energy.
And just off of artifacts, which like there are a decent amount, but you want to get the energy off of spells you want to cast, like counter spells, I feel like.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Like I don't want to be in a scenario where I have to go through a Hullbreaker Horror Loop and then cast her and then continue to go through my Hullbreaker Horror Loop and then have something else to win the game.
Yeah, I see what you mean. But I do think if we were to get a busted legendary that turned all of your spells into energy makers and we get enough energy cards, but that's a lot of if this, then this, and if this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
exactly.
I can see a world.
But this should be a fun set to go back to.
For sure.
We got the masterpieces the last time we were here, so I'm sure we'll get some reprintings of foil versions of cards that used to be $200 and $300 that will now be $3.
If there's Mana Crypt or Jewel Lotus in this set,
dude,
they might not have known at the time, and those are artifacts.
And they're like, we're getting masterpiece versions of Jeweled Lotus in these packs.
That would be so
That'd
funny.
That'd be so funny. Probably not Jeweled Lotus, though, because that's a commander card. I feel like they would want them to be cards that you could play in Modern or Legacy or something.
I guess the other times that they had Jeweled Lotus in the set was for a commander set specifically, right?
But you
so
know
they
what?
Might have put Mana Crypt in the set, though. I wouldn't be surprised.
If you opened an invention in a pack and draft, you could play it.
Yeah.
But they were not standard legal.
Yeah.
So I think they would still want to make sure that you could play it in draft.
Yeah, so it would maybe Mana Crypt over Jeweled Lotus.
Which would be fine for the draft format. Yeah. That won't go wrong at all.
What's the next set that's coming out in 2025?
Tarkir Dragonstorm.
This is awesome.
This is sick. It's been so long since we were on Tarkir last.
Honestly, when I ask people a lot of time what set they started playing Magic in, this is a very common response. I hear this a lot that people started playing during this set, and I'm super excited to go back to it because dragons are fucking awesome.
This was, what, 2014? So it's been like 11 years since we were on Tarkir.
Yes.
I'm interested to see where this goes because they learned a lot from Dragons of Tarkir with there was like no dragons at common in Dragons of Tarkir. So I'm excited to see the direction they decide to push the world in because we've been to a lot of planes years later where things are totally different, a la Kamigawa.
Yeah.
So like I'm interested to see how far down that rabbit hole we go.
Something that I am thinking about that we might get for this set is lands that are good, like some sort of three-color land that would be like an untapped three-color land or something like that because I feel like what I remember of Dragons of Tarkir is like they were wedges or I don't know what the other term is for
They are wedges.
They're wedges.
It's
the three
shards
colors.
Of Alara.
And then this is the wedges.
These are the wedges.
So I think it would be cool if we got just like a wedged untapped land. That was just all it did. Now that I'm saying that out loud, that's obviously very, very, very powerful. But I think it would be cool if we got something like that. And that's kind of what I'm expecting. Just
something
like
with it needs
a good
to have
land.
Like, it'll have like some kind of a drawback.
Yeah,
but like,
maybe it's a ping land or I don't know, hits you for two every time you tap it. That would
probably
be bad.
Probably not fetchable though.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, they've been doing a lot more fetchable lands though.
We already have the full set of triomes though.
So how do you improve upon a, or do, how do you do a different type of triome?
Yeah, like a fetchable vegetable one with cyclene already seems really good.
Yeah.
If it's going to tap for three colors. I don't know. That's not my problem to figure out. But what I am excited for with this set, oh man, I had something that I was excited for.
Is it dragons, or are you excited for dragons?
We are definitely going to get some dragons that will be great casual commanders and iffy CEDH commanders. That's what I'm expecting here.
Yeah, I can kind of see that too.
The other thing though too, if we are leaning more into the dragon side though, that wasn't a wedge set anymore. The dragons then became two-color factions.
Yeah, I actually don't really know the story that much, so I don't know if we are going to be in more two-color situations in this set. I don't know if they like have said that yet.
When we left the plane, the dragons were in charge of the plane, and each of the factions were, it was Azorius belonged to Ojutai, except they called it whatever.
Yeah.
And then, like, again, same thing goes for Rakdos and Culligan and all that shit. If we go back to Tarkir in that setting, this isn't going to be a wedge set. We're not going to get cool Jund, well, Jund wouldn't be one, but we're not going to get cool, teamer commanders or anything like that. But maybe what would be really cool is if like they decide to do the timeline thing again and we go from dragons being in control back to Khans being in control, and then it is still a wedge set at the same time.
Or they've already done 3 and 2. What if they do 1 or 4 color shit? What if it's a 4-color set? That would be tricky. But what if they add it? What if it changes again? Or what if they lose a color and it's just monocolor?
Like all of them meld together and it becomes a 5-color set and it's all about 5-color?
What if? What if?
What if? Yeah. I guess they did a 5-color set when they did Conflux.
So was that one popular?
I guess that's done. Shards is cool, and I'd love to go back to Shards of Alara, just Alara in general, but I don't know if Conflux was that popular.
I don't know either, really. I remember, I don't know, I wasn't playing at the time.
As for, like, other cards and stuff like that, it's really hard for me to say what other kinds of cards we might get.
I'm expecting dragons. Hopefully, maybe some of them will be 2 or 3 mana that have a cool card advantage ability, and we'll be able to play it in CDH.
Maybe we'll get, I mean, I'm sure we'll go back and see some, like, characters, too, that we liked from there.
Maybe some commands. I remember Cole commands of the like being very popular, so I wonder if we'll get any cycle of that.
Man, like a 3-color command cycle, I think
just
would
got
be
that
cool
recently.
If we are wedges. Did we?
Well, didn't we with the, maybe, how, what's that was Obnixilis? Didn't we
You're
get 3-color
right.
shit
yeah.
in that set?
Yeah, but they're bad. No one, they're well, those are charms, too.
Charms.
They were charms.
Those are charms.
Yeah, we got like
These
Riveteer's
are,
charm. Yeah, yeah, no, I want a command.
A command.
I want 3-color command. Choose two out of 4 situations.
Do we have a 3-color command? I know we have the 1-color commands and the 2-color commands. But maybe we don't have 3-color commands?
I don't think we have 3-color commands.
In my brain, I don't see it. I don't see any of that in my brain.
Because the last time we got commands were on Tarkir, right?
I know, we got Gix's command and the like the monocolor commands. When was that? That was after Tarkir, I think.
We got 1-color commands back in Lorwyn. The original ones
were 1-color
commands.
Ones were 1-color commands. Yeah. Right, of course.
Yeah, so it only makes sense now that we'll get 3-color commands.
It would be really sick if it was 4-color set, though. That would be very helpful for CDH,
if we got
4-color support.
That would be interesting, though. What 4-color legend would they print that's better than Partners, though? Like, are they going to want to actively do things to make Partners better in Commander? I feel like that's a direction that they actively want to push against.
What does Wizards want to do about Partners? I don't know the answer to that. Wizards has recently taken over for Commander. Wizards, I imagine, will be making some sort of change / announcement / hello in 2025. They haven't really said anything since they took over.
Which was before MagicCon Vegas.
Right,
at this
point. So I imagine sometime in January, in the beginning of the year, they'll say something. There is a world where they start banning for power level. I don't think that's a realistic world, but there is a world, and I am kind of curious as to what that looks like.
Because it's not power level for CEDH.
Right.
It'll be power level for Commander.
For actual Commander.
And then again, like, that's like, well, who's to say what power level is? Yeah. Like, that's why they were going to bring in
the
bracket
system. Brackets, yeah.
But again, we haven't heard anything about the brackets. We know who's talking about Commander with Wizards.
Which is not us.
It's not us. No, it's not us.
So I am looking forward to seeing what Wizards is going to say about Commander. That is something to look forward to in 2025. But we can get back to the sets now.
Cool. Do you have any other predictions for Tarkir? Going back to Tarkir, Dragonstorm?
Dragons, commands, lands.
Maybe Storm. It's called Dragon Storm. Maybe we'll see Storm on cards.
What if Dragon Storm? Oh, yeah. What if they say, fuck it,
if
let's bring back
they
Storm.
They don't print Dragon Storm in this set, I will be so sad.
That better be at least on some sort of extra thing. One
extra
of the extra
thing,
sheets or something. Absolutely.
All right. Let's talk about the Final Fantasy set then that's coming
out.
It's just called Final Fantasy.
Have you ever played?
No.
None?
No.
You're a video gamer.
It's a JRPG, too. I feel like I just went on a huge diatribe last week about Fire Emblem.
What did you say just now, those letters?
JRPG.
What is that?
That's a Japanese RPG.
And you like that, because that's what Fire Emblem is.
Oh, I should say what RPG is. Japanese role-playing game.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, okay.
That's what it is.
And that's what Fire Emblem
is. Fire Emblem's a JRPG.
I also know nothing about Final Fantasy, except for I've had friends that have been into it. I know there's a dude with a big sword, right?
Cloud.
Is that his name?
Well, there's two guys with big swords, actually.
Awesome.
There's a guy with a gut sword named Cloud.
Except his is angular like this, and Guts' sword's angular like this.
Correct. Okay. Yeah, a little different. And then Sephiroth also has a long sword.
Okay, so you do know a little.
But it's like long only because of Super Smash Brothers, because Cloud is in Super Smash Brothers now. And then Sephiroth was actually a character that a buddy of mine back in high school ported into Project M. You ever played Project M?
No.
It was a different version, because everyone hated Super Smash Brothers Brawl, so they did Project M, which was like a modified version of Brawl, and one of the characters that my buddy ported in was Sephiroth, who was busted because his range was insane because his sword was so long.
Okay. Equipments. That's what I'm thinking for this set. We were just talking about swords a bunch.
Equipments, yeah.
Do you think those swords will be equipments in the set?
Oh, for sure.
Gotta be, right?
I can't tell you the names of those swords.
I imagine they will have equipped to the character they belong to as Zero or One or a cheaper mount
that would
or
be
something.
Cool. Equipped to Cloud as something.
Yeah, and then equipped to everyone else is like a higher cost.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense for Final Fantasy, but for a person's sword, to me, that makes sense.
Yeah, this one's a little disappointing because this is going to be the set that we know the least about. We have the least amount to predict. This is all we have to go off of.
To me,
big swords.
This is the same as a new Magic the Gathering set.
If brand
they
just, new.
If they announced a new thing, like they were going to space or whatever, it's the same thing. I guess even the space, I know a little bit more than this. I know nothing about
I know
this.
Some about space.
Yeah, I know a little about space.
I know some about space. Yeah, but this is like when they announced like Bloomborough. Like, oh, I have a basic understanding of what the world is about.
Yeah.
Big swords.
Big swords.
Yeah. And now I'm excited to find out more about it through Magic the Gathering now.
Yeah. So no predictions for me, but this set is going to be really cool for a lot of people, and I hope they give it the same respect that they gave to Lord of the Rings, because I think Lord of the Rings was fun for Lord of the Rings fans and for everyone else, and I hope that this can be the same.
Me too.
Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta could make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
So Edge of Eternities is next.
Space set.
This is the space set. Yeah, this is where we're going into the blind Eternities. We're going to have a lot of outer space themes from the real world, while not technically being in outer space in the magic world.
It's not space, it's just outside of the planes.
It's like a void.
Which is space.
It's a space, yeah, really.
It's not technically our space.
We're back on the our versus a conversation again.
Eldrazi, that's what we should expect here, right?
I'll tell you what though, all of the imagery from the set, as I was looking it up, as I was editing last week's podcast, does not feel very colorless and Eldrazi to me.
Interesting.
Maybe colorless. I guess I could see colorless.
I didn't see much of the imagery. What were the vibes that you got?
So, big space whale.
Big space whale?
Big space whale. Yeah, a huge whale in space sucking up space krill is what I imagine that it does.
Oh, so maybe more closer to like underwater type of situation.
I think we'll get like a mix mash of like a lot of different things to create abstract space. Like, I think a lot of the images of the area that we'll in, like, will look nebulous. Like, okay, it'll look like people are floating. And we'll see a lot of sci-fi things that people will have, like spaceships.
Big heads with big eyes?
Probably.
Like that type of alien, you think?
Probably not. No. Stereotypical alien you don't like think? That. No.
You think we'll get any, like, xenomorph aliens?
I don't know that we'll get things just like that.
Like, what about that zombie skin crawler or whatever that gives something -3/-3 when it enters that looks kind of like one of them?
I haven't seen many things that resemble aliens from imagery. Like, I saw an image of like a human that looked like he was in some kind of space getup, just kind of floating in space.
Okay. With
like other spaceships behind him. So there's definitely some kind of a Star Wars aspect maybe that will come up behind this too. But let me show you some images.
You know what I'm hoping for? I'm going to tell you right now. Humanoid Eldrazi. That's what I want.
Whoa, that would be wild.
I want it to look kind of like a human, but then when you look close, no, not a human at all. Eldrazi, actually.
So like, this is the guy I'm talking about. Here's a humanoid looking guy.
That looks like Tezzeret.
I mean, that probably is Tezzeret for a...
Oh, yeah, with the hand? That's
lore
Tezzeret.
Perspective, yeah.
That's absolutely Tezzeret, which makes sense in space. He's all robot, so he can breathe out there, right?
Tezzeret has always been one of my favorite magic characters.
So, cool.
So getting a new Tezzeret who hopefully has a third color attached to him would be awesome.
When we did we ranked our planeswalkers, Tezzeret was second?
Tezzeret was second, yeah. I think I would swap that now.
Depends on the day. I think there's an argument, still an argument for Teferi or Monoblue Tezzeret, but Monoblue Tezzeret is really good. This image looks sick. The eclipse looks really awesome too. That would be really cool to see more of that. Yeah, I'm excited for this.
I'm hoping that we just get like more sets that are about like events that are happening as opposed to like worlds. How do I say this? That's exactly how I want to say this. Like, I think we mentioned this a little bit before on another podcast, but I really liked the War of the Spark. Like, that was really the last time I felt like I got incredibly immersed in a new set that was coming out. And I didn't even care that it was happening on Ravnica. Like, that wasn't what mattered. It was that we were telling the story of a set of events that were going on.
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot more when the sets are like much more focused on events rather than what it seems like from my perspective now is that they're kind of just focused on the characters. This is what Jace looks like when he has a cowboy hat on. This is what Jace looks like when he's on Vox. You know what I mean?
And I'm not into that either.
I don't even care about Jace. I want like a story. Who's Jace?
Like, I'd rather have a story I can follow through. I don't care who the characters are. If the story's good, I'll like the characters because the story's good.
Definitely.
I don't know. This set, because this is such a loose area that this is in, like, I feel like this has potential to be more story driven a little bit, which I think could be a cool way to get us to care more about the magic story now that we're spending way less time with the magic story.
Yeah, that's true. If we're going to be spending less time overall because we're doing all this other IP stuff, I would love if the magic story was much more concise and like the focal point.
Although, how funny would it be to see magic characters crossing over into like the Final Fantasy and Marvel universe?
I hope they do that one day. That would be the coolest if all of a sudden like Jace and Spider-Man are like swinging together for some reason.
Like, to me, because the next set is the Spider-Man set, this means that the whole Marvel universe is a plane of existence.
Yeah.
Is what that means to me, right?
If we go to space and then go to Marvel, why can't we go to space and then find Marvel? Like, why can't they all exist in the same world, not necessarily just adjacent?
That's how this works. Like, first of all, that's funny that you use the word adjacent as we're talking about this. Because Jace.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that is funny.
Yeah, that is funny. I feel like this is just a reason to bring in all of these other things. And like, now we should get to see, what does Jace look like in a spider suit?
Or what if like Chandra and Phoenix from X-Men meet or something? These two flame people.
Yeah,
or
like what happens?
Or Flame On guy from the four of them.
Human Torch.
What if Human Torch and Chandra like get together? Like that would, I would think that would be really
Who's
cool.
Who's stronger? We get to finally figure that out.
Like
Garruk
versus the Hulk or something like that.
Oh, that'd be so sick.
I think Hulk would probably take him. But I would love to see them directly interact. I think that would be super super fucking
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, I think so too. The Spider-Man set, though, this is going to be insane.
I think it's going to be very, very, very popular. Spider-Man is very popular.
And there's so many directions that you can go with this too, because Spider-Man has been around for so long. Like, I could see them not including Venom, Carnage, Anti-Venom. They could include no symbiotes because later we'll do a Spider-Man symbiote set where they will be the main focus.
I hope that this Spider-Man set is all inclusive. I hope that it includes all aspects of Spider-Man. For me, that's what I really want.
See, they've never done that with a Spider-Man movie. Why would they do that with the Spider-Man set?
They did it with the Lord of the Rings set, though. It's not just the first movie, the Lord of the, or the first book. It's all of Lord of the Rings.
It's all
right?
Lord of
it's
the Rings.
Whole story.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
I mean, there's so much Marvel. To make a Spider-Man set with the intent to go back to Spider-Man when you already have like 10 that are probably good also.
We could go back to Lord of the Rings because we haven't done the Silmarillion. So we could go through like the entirety of the Silmarillion then too. And like that gives you like a ton more content. So like I think it's really depending on how much they want to go back to that well, because I think you also want to test out the waters. I would hate to see them put all of their eggs in this one Spider-Man basket and then go, well, it was the best set ever. And like we end
they
up
have
loving
nothing
it.
To go back to.
And then they're never going to do something like that again.
That's true. It'd probably be smarter for them to leave a couple things out and just focus on maybe one villain or something. Like how the Spider-Man movies do, like it's just one or two villains.
I would put my money on there being a Sinister Six, and that there's six main bad guys that Spider-Man has to deal with. And we're not dealing with the multiverse, the Spider-Verse. I wouldn't assume there'd be like a Spider-Gwen or anything like that.
That would be cool though if we
it would be
if Peter Parker could become a planeswalker.
I would hope that we do get a Miles Morales here though too.
Okay, real quick, running back, you said Sinister Six.
Okay,
who is that?
The Sinister Six is really any combination of six Spider-Man villains that are teaming up together to pull off a heist or to get back at Spider-Man. In the Spider-Man PlayStation 4 game, it was Dr. Octopus, Electro.
Dr. Octopus?
Dr. Octopus, yeah. Do you remember Doc Ock?
Doc Ock. Is his full name really Dr. Octopus?
Well, what else? Well, that's what Doctor and Octopus are both short for, so.
Is it? I thought it was an octopus. I thought it was.
He has eight limbs with four extra
the
limbs.
The robot. No, I know what he has. I know who he is. I don't know why for some reason Dr. Octopus doesn't sound right.
Yeah, that's
right.
What he is. He's You're Dr. Right. Octopus, okay, yeah. Electro, Vulture, Rhino, and two others.
Was Kraven one of them? We just had that Kraven movie.
No, Kraven was in the second game, actually. Yeah.
Did you see the Kraven movie?
No, I heard it was terrible.
Everything that I see is like the producers are like, we don't know why these movies are all doing so bad. And then like the lineup of all the Sony Marvel movies are just like the worst movies that I've ever seen, I think.
I know. Yeah, I keep hearing. Although is it James Gunn who's doing the new Superman movie that's supposed to be good?
Yes.
Or at least it looks good.
Yeah, but that's a different
it's a whole
thing
other
entire.
Thing.
That's
a whole other we're, thing. We're way sidetracked with this. Either way, the Sinister Six is just like six Spider-Man villains from his rogues gallery that you're plucking apart to be whatever you want.
I just don't know how you make a full Spider-Man set without having like multiple versions of Spider-Man. Like how do you have, you're going to need hundreds of cards. If you just do one arc or one, like, I feel like you kind of need access to like a full range of Spider-Man. Cause like, I would love to see the Spider-Man where he's got those little metal arms, and the Spider-Man where he's got the webs,
the Iron
here,
Spider.
And the ones
yeah.
where he's got the, yeah, like there's all the different versions of Spider-Man. I feel like it would be super cool to see all
That's
those
true.
Versions.
Yeah. I do think a big part of the Spider-Man fandom is the suits
yes.
and all the suits that he has.
And to me, the symbiotes, like I have Carnage on my arm. I feel like the symbiotes are super popular. To leave them out of the first Spider-Man set, I feel like would be lame.
Well,
again,
I think it would just be for them to come back though. When you make a Spider-Man movie, like you have to choose which villains you want, and normally you can maximize at two villains.
Venom and Carnage.
I guess that's true.
They were the ones that just recently were in movies, but it's not the same owner, like Sony, the same rights that Magic has rights from. Does that make sense?
No, because right now Spider-Man is all on the Marvel side of things, which is how he's gotten into the Avenger movies.
Yeah, and that's where Magic is partnered with.
So there's a chance we don't have licensing for Venom and Anti-Venom and Carnage
is
and all
that
stuff.
Is that how it would work? Okay, Jesus. All right, I have no idea, but I do. What about... Can we talk about what we think the set would, like, what would Spider-Man do? Like, what do we think the cards would be good for? Because it's not really going to be an artifact set. Enchantments don't really make sense. I imagine Spider-Man will be very powerful, so maybe it'll be like a creature focus, because like all of the villains in Spider-Man, they would be creatures probably. So maybe it'll be very creature focused with lots of keywords or something.
Probably, yeah. I could also see maybe this is also another like equipment-based set. Spider-Man has gadgets. Maybe the suits are equipment.
Oh.
Like maybe the suits are equipment, and even like the Rhino's armor is another equipment.
Oh,
or like
okay.
the Scorpion suit is also an equipment. Maybe that could be a thing.
That could be cool.
That is true. It is tough to say. Like it's easy to do a one-to-one comparison is like, oh, what does Spider-Man look like on a magic card? But it's hard to say, like, is this going to be his origin story? Like, are we getting a story along with these sets? Or is this just going to be a smattering of Spider-Man cards?
I don't know. But either way, I'm pumped. I think it's going to be fine. Yeah. It's going to be good.
My prediction is that this is going to be his origin. We'll get a Peter Parker card. Maybe he'll transform into Spider-Man.
Yeah,
Peter Parker, definitely.
Yeah, we'll definitely
Peter Parker
have transforms.
Transforms into Spider-Man, and then that's what he does. And then, like, maybe they'll do the same thing with Eddie Brock into Venom, if
definitely.
They do have Venom.
I think that would be the way they have to approach
Mac Gargan into the Scorpion. Like, I think that would be a cool way to showcase everyone in that way.
Yeah, I agree, 100%. What's the next set that's coming out?
The sixth and last standard set to be released next year is unannounced.
Unannounced.
We don't know what it'll be.
About.
Yeah,
okay.
It's the whole Foundations situation from this year.
Is it going to be another core set, like another Foundations type of thing? Or you said we don't know at all?
I don't know. Is Foundations going to be in standard longer than the average standard set, or is that going to be in standard for the normal rotation time?
Jeez, now that you're asking, I'm not positive. I do remember them saying these cards will be in the format for a long time, but I don't remember if they said that's because standard has become lengthened or because the set is unique. I don't remember.
I don't know, because I do think I saw somewhere that standard's not rotating again until 2027.
I started putting together a standard deck. There's a black-green deck that seems pretty good that plays Llanowar Elves and Scavenging Ooze and Maelstrom Pulse and a couple other very nostalgic cards. So
I'm
nice. I'm going to give it a shot. And there's a couple RCQs coming up in January that I maybe want to try to go to just for fun.
Honestly, after seeing that rock deck is available, I'm a little curious about it too. Also, don't listen to me when I talk about standard rotation. The changes are coming in 2027. I'm losing my mind.
Okay, got it.
So those are all the sets that are coming out in 2025, Dylan, but we still have a little bit of extra time, so I got a couple other questions I want to ask you.
Give them to me, yeah. Let's talk about some more predictions, perhaps.
So we already did talk a little bit about this, but where do we think Commander as a format is going in 2025, since we've had no news from Wizards now that they've taken over the format?
I think playistically? That's not a right word.
You just coined it, so it is now.
Playistically, the way I think CDH will continue to play out is that draw engines will remain king for a while. Playing around draw engines, making sure that you can draw the most cards, making sure that you can win on top of other people, making sure that you can win in very difficult to interact with ways, using things like Grand Abolisher. I think that's going to be, at least for me, that's where I see the future of CDH. I think it is possible to go fast, but I think a lot of decks and a lot of players can communicate early on in a lot of pods to communicate to, let's make sure we not lose to this first player, and then we grind into forever. So I think that's what the games will continue to look like, unless something drastically changes.
Do you know what it is? We're in the Flash meta again, Dylan.
A little bit.
We're in the Flash meta, but it's slowed down. So instead of this feeling lingering over the game from turn 3 and turn 4 that people are having right now in games, the Flash meta was that same feeling, but from turn 0 all of the
time. Exactly, yeah.
So if anything, like, I can understand why maybe people are a little sick of the mid-range hell, and cards like Valley Floodcaller are certainly feeding into mid-range hell continuing a little bit more, but it's certainly less egregious than it was back in 2019.
Yeah, that's true. And I still think it's been a ton of fun. I've been having a blast playing CDH. I have not played Rock'sai quite as much recently. I've been on more Timna Thrasios. If you can't beat him, join him type of situation.
That's where I'm at too,
right?
Yeah.
We're both playing that deck. I think it's been a blast. It's a lot of fun. It's just a slightly different meta than it was 6 months ago. I think losing Dockside and Mana Crypt and Jewel Lotus, we lost a little bit of that explosiveness.
All of the catch-up mechanics in CEDH are now gone.
Yes.
But you still have to make sure that you're ahead.
Right.
Especially if you're going third or fourth.
And before, you could have things in your hand like this explosive boost of mana on turn 3 or 4 to help catch you up. Because if you play just Rhystic Study after everyone else plays Rhystic Study, your Rhystic Study drew everyone a card and they all get to untap first. But if you have a way to boost out mana on turn 4, you can kind of catch up by playing Rhystic Study and also hold holding up 2 mana, so maybe you can do something. It seems to me that I'm seeing C1 is even more favored than ever.
I think so too. Yeah, exactly, because there's no way to catch back up. Like, if you start behind, you're always behind. So being in seat 4 is now more detrimental than it has been.
Culling Ritual, I think, is one of the few remainder cards, and there are probably others, I'm sure, but Culling Ritual is the first that comes to mind that is like a great catch-up card, that if you're in seat 4, that one can really help turn the tides.
Yeah, you get rid of everything causing you problems, you set everyone back by miles, and then push yourself ahead by resolving tutors and like your finale of devastation for whatever impactful creature you need right away, because you have that huge burst of mana.
Yeah, the issue with board wipes a lot of the time is you tap out and you kill everyone's stuff, and then now you're tapped out and you also lost stuff and you just pass a turn, whereas this card allows you to put stuff back in, so you can, if you want to, put back in your collector roof now after everything's been destroyed, and you can set it up your own way. So I think cards like that are really good catch-up cards still,
especially when you can follow up with things that will prevent people from coming back from their destroyed point.
Yeah.
You go opposition agent back, yeah, and now people can't tutor for the piece that they need to help, you know, get them back into play. Cards like that, I totally agree, are definitely where I would want to lead if I'm trying to break the stalemates that are going on.
Some commanders that I think that maybe we should look out for. The ones that we just recently played in our episode, Stellaly, I think is really great, and I think is going to continue to be pretty great. Glarb, I think, is a strangely powerful deck that I know I was talking about last time I switched it to Mithrasios, but I still think the deck is really powerful. I think we're going to see more from it in 2025.
Things with big bodies, again, I think are going to be relevant. Like, combat damage is coming back, so I think Tivit's going to be making a bigger comeback then too.
Yeah.
You're in really good color still. The format is slowing down, and that's where Tivit thrived before.
That's true, and you don't care about Dockside blowing you out anymore.
If anything, Tivit is in a better position then.
I wonder about Master of Keys. That's one that's seen a ton of play, and if we're talking about like a big creature that's going to clog up the board, Master of Keys can get huge very quickly.
Yeah, that's true. Huge very quickly, and also being able to like get dressed down back from your graveyard every single turn, I think is really good.
There's a couple of locks that you can set up. I like Tivit a little bit more because I think Tivit has more offensive potential, whereas Master of Keys has more defensive potential.
Plus the one card win combination.
Yeah,
win
that's what I mean. Like, that's like that offensive potential is like, that's not the great word for that, but like it has the ability to close at the game quickly.
Yeah.
But Master of Keys, as far as I'm aware, doesn't have like a quick combo with itself to win the game.
No, right? You're kind of using it as a value engine, which forces you to always play slow.
And you can set up some locks and stuff, but that's just not the style that, for me personally, I think is best.
No,
or that
if I went straight Esper right now, I'd probably end up in Tivit.
There's also Rakdos the Muscle, which is a commander that wasn't in our episode for best commander of the year, but I think has a pretty good argument to be one of the best commanders in the year still.
It maybe should have been, yeah.
I think we're going to see more from that one as well. It has the Nadu-ish effect of, as it's going through its combo, it's accumulating value. So even if you stop it at some point, as long as the pilot sequences their shit right, oftentimes they're still left with like a bunch of leftover shit in play that they can make use for the next turn. At least that's how I see it play a lot.
No, I definitely agree.
Plagon is just another one that I think kind of has that same Nadu-esque, Rakdos-esque abilities. Like, as you're going through the combo, if someone stops you, you're still playing good cards and you're getting more shit out in play. And that, I think Plagon, we're going to see a lot of too.
Yeah, I think so too. As long as people keep working on the deck. I think if people end up dropping off of it, I could see that happening.
Yeah, it's only 2 colors, so
it is only 2 colors. Yeah, and you're not in great colors either, so like your win conditions are still a little bit tough. But Plagon, if you can build up a board of good interactive stacks creatures, Plagon for 5, and then blink Plagon with like a Cloud Shift or something, like you can set up really good board states for yourself where it's really tough to lose.
So yeah, those commanders I'm expecting to see a lot more of in 2025. What about, we also in your question, I think we talked about some of the things that Wizards might change, right?
Yeah, like, is there any, do you think that there's any like structural format things that Wizards might change?
I don't know. I'm curious about your thoughts on this. What do you think they'll do? Because we do know a little bit of what they talked about, but it's still all speculation.
I think they're going to do incredibly minimal. And if they do things, it's going to be unban things that they no longer feel act as signpost cards, or cards that they don't feel are in like the high power category that maybe they used to be back in 2011 or something like that.
I have a little bit of a thought. I feel like the unbannings in Modern have been perceived very, very well, right?
Fully agreed, yeah.
Everything that I've seen online, everyone seems very excited. They're loving the new meta. I see a bunch of positive
things.
Except for
maybe energy not getting enough things banned,
yes.
But the unbannings were received.
People were very
great.
Happy with the unbannings, and I think Wizards obviously sees that, and they want to do right by Commander, so I think that they will unban a big grouping of cards. I'm not sure which ones that they would, but I think that's what we can expect. If I were a betting man, I would say a couple of things are coming off the list.
I think so too. And I'll be honest, like, there's not a lot of stuff that I'm like itching to take off this list though either. Like, I'm really happy with where the format is. I think reasonings behind why the cards that are banned make sense.
Can you give me like three cards that you would take off the list?
That I would take off the list. Yeah. Hull Breacher. I would take that card off the list today. Yeah. Yes. I would take Library of Alexandria off of the list. Only because I love the card.
Yeah.
And that card is just so much fun. Oh man, what's a third one that I would take off? Sundering Titan.
Sundering Titan.
Because we don't really play basics in EDH. But it's Sundering Titan hits basic land types.
I think it hit one for each land type it can hit.
Of each basic land type. So you can hit dual lands.
Oh yes.
Yeah, sure. Sundering Titan.
Sundering Titan. Okay.
Sundering Titan. Yeah, that card's fun, and you have to also play around it so that you don't just blow up your lands too.
Because it has to hit one of each five?
It has to hit one of each if they're available. Yeah, that was a big thing in Cube, where like you could blow up your opponent's lands, but you might also be blowing up some of yours. In CEDH, it's probably easier to just blow up your opponent's lands, because if you have an underground C, there's a good chance an opponent has an underground C, and there's just two more opponents gives you more chances for things. But I think that would do some fun things to deck building, where now, like, instead of playing Shocklands, maybe I want to make sure that I'm playing the Battle Bond lands instead.
Oh, interesting.
So I think that could do some fun stuff to, like, how you frame your mana base.
Yeah, that could make sense. I don't think Sundering Titan would see any CDH play, but it would be a doozy in casual.
That's
for sure.
True, yeah. Do you have three cards you would unban right now?
For me, Yawgmoth's Bargain is not much better than some of the other black spells that we have already, like Ad Nauseam and Necropotence and Bolas of Citadel. So I think Yawgmoth's Bargain could come off. It's like 6 mana, pay 1 life, draw card.
Interesting. Let me think about that.
I don't know that it would be better than Ad Nauseam. I think it would be better than Bolas of Citadel. It would be playable. I think it would be good. It's a 6 mana sorcery speed card.
Yeah, like, that's the thing. Peer into the Abyss is bad, and it draws you maybe 10 more cards than this would.
Depends on the timing, but yeah, it's very likely that Peer in the Abyss is normally going to draw you 45 cards, and this one is normally going to draw you 35 cards.
Yeah, this one will draw you the same amount of cards that Necro will draw you. But it's harder to get out, but you can win the game on your main phase immediately.
But you just spent 6 mana to do it. Necro, you spent 3 mana to do it.
We should unban this card.
I think it would be playable, but I don't think it would be lights out, and I think it would be a fun include, and it's similar to other shit that we already have.
I'm going to swap Sundering Titan for Yawgmoth's Bargain.
You got it. Raphelos, the one that just makes mana equal to the forest
have. Yeah, yeah, because it just dies the Bowmaster all the time.
It's just a mana dork. Yes, it make a bunch of mana, and sure, it can make consistent. I think the original issue is that it made like 3 mana.
It makes 6 mana on turn 3 if you have 3 forest in play.
So what? I don't know. I think that's
good. Primeval Titan's banned, right? So you can't just like jam out Prime Titan.
And it's just mono green. Maybe it would be too powerful and casual. I don't think so. I think it'd just be another Elf Ball deck that would die to Toxic Delusion.
This is one that I think is a contender for banned as commander. And like, if you want to do a banned as commander list, I would put this one on there.
I don't know if I like that. Iona for me. I would also take Iona.
Dude, Iona shouldn't be on the list. Yeah.
I personally would love to say Gristlebrand, because I love Gristlebrand, and I think it would be so great. I still understand that Gristlebrand, if you want to say as a signpost one of these effects is too strong, Gristlebrand makes sense as being a little bit too strong, just because it's a creature. I know it's more mana than Yawgmoth's, but because you can reanimate it, I think that makes it a little
bit
different.
That's why it's not really more mana, because you're always going to cast Exhum or something else.
Something else, reanimate, animate that, or something like that. So I do think that they're close, and I would prefer to have Gristlebrand unbanned. If I were to actually like make the decision for me personally, I would choose that, but I understand that might not be what they go for, but I think Yawgmoth's Bargain they could.
I really like the Yawgmoth's Bargain one, yeah. I think we'll get more dumb stuff though, if that makes sense.
Yeah, like Biorhythm will come off. Coalition Victory probably will come off.
More aimed at the casual side of things. But even then, I don't think that there's too much that they want to take off here. Like, I think that a lot of these make a lot of sense. It's also going to people got really pissed about the bans for financial reasons.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised now that Wizards has made decisions because of players' reactions to financial things in their hobby before. I'm sure there will be a lot of financial implications that will happen with things as well too. Maybe not on the unbanned side, because if they unban Talarian Academy, that goes from a $30 or $50 card, and that skyrockets to hundreds of dollars all
probably,
of a sudden.
Yeah.
I feel like they will definitely be wary about cards that they will ban for financial purposes. I don't know. If the reserve list is a thing.
They got to sense a small amount of thin ice that the Commander players have with what everything that just happened.
Yeah,
I mean,
so
I think they'll be aware of that.
I know that they don't feel bad banning Birthing Pod, and then someone goes, oh man, I just bought into Birthing Pod in Modern, and now I can't play the deck. Like, I know they won't feel bad about that. But yeah, those are some things I would want to see unbanned. I do think that, again, we're going to get some stuff that's a little bit more not as exciting that will get unbanned that like might just be a little bit more playing it safe kind of stuff. But I am curious to see what happens.
You think they'll ban Thassa's Oracle?
I wouldn't be surprised if they did. I'd be sad if they did. Honestly, if they ban anything, I'll be sad.
I don't think they will. But I think if there is a card to ban on power level, it's Thoracle. I don't think they should or would. I like that Thoracle's in the format.
No, I think they'll stick with the signpost bans, I think.
I think that makes sense. Any other thoughts on 2025?
I don't have any. No, I'm excited to see what's to come this year.
Yeah, I think the sets seem really cool. I'm excited for them.
I'm excited for the Universes Beyond additions here too, to see how these are going to stack up, because I think this will also help with product fatigue as well. There's not going to be so much extra stuff that's going to come out, so I think this will really help kind of slow things down to a much more attainable situation for everyone to be a part of every release, as opposed to having to pick and choose what they want to interact with Magic in.
Yes, I agree, and I think that's definitely a good thing to keep everyone invested, for sure. Thanks so much for watching. If you'd like to support us directly, you can do so on Patreon, like our $100 patrons.
Jude Knowles, Spengler, Demetrius Clark, Larceny Roars, Your Boy Blue, Sparky B, Insomnia, SC Philip, Olden Groupie, Gecko21, Caleb Ritchie, Zach Hartley, Reactive, Sean in the Ice, Luke Cook, Demon of Rosgrease, Peter Stewart, Cornell Wild, Uncle Butts, Nick Foles, Goto9, Quaje, Hamid, Lauren Connell, Scott Hawk, and Baby G-Bus.
If you want to pick up any of our merch, you can do that at playtowinmtg.com.
Thank you, Dragon Shield, for supporting the show. Use code PlayToWin5 at our affiliate link for 5% off.
Follow us on social media for more content.
Thank you so much for watching.
See you next time.
Sarcastic, Roy Turner, Mystic Muffin Man, Jacob Bauer, Zachary Coulson, Jabaha, Mace the Ace, Dalton Poteet, Hobo Ghost, Justin Mansolo, Jacob Depp, Jan Wildfang, Thomas Bueno, and David Nelson. I don't think my hair is perfect. It's not perfect today, but it is going to be what it is.
It looks better than it did 2 minutes ago. So progress,
that's
progress,
all that
baby.
Matters. Yeah. Glad we weren't recording 2 minutes ago for everyone to see what that looks like, too.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.